The Guardian.
You're 83 and sounding full of vim. Tell me about that as a life stage. Are you enjoying that as a life stage?
I'm loving it. I know that it's given to us to live and love. I think life loves the liver of it. I think you say to life, I'm with you, kid. Let's go. And it says, okie dokie.
Is life much the same for you? Are you finding it, you're having to slow down, or are you just as busy as you ever were?
Well, maybe busier in some ways. I'm older, and so I don't have all the vim. But, you know, there's a saying, it says, growing old is not for sissies. and so, I think you have to make your mind up to grow old.
So you're staring it straight in the face?
Yes, I am.
Let's talk about the awards, because I know they filmed that, I think it was in January, but we get to see it on Saturday here. Now, you've received so many awards in your time. Why was this one special?
It's wonderful when your country says, this is the best we can give, and we give it to the best we have. I've lived my life as if I'm living it to earn awards. That is to say, I do the best I can in everything I do, whether it's cooking a meal or singing a song or writing a poem. Whatever I'm doing, I do the very best I can. And I'm aware that this might be the last time I get a chance to do that, whatever it is.
And has that always been your approach?
Yes, as long as I can remember.
Now, you got your award from Michelle Obama, and I think I read you saying that your heart burst when you saw her and saw that the award was to be handed over by her.
She's a grand dame. She's really a great lady. I had written her a note a few months earlier because I had been in a gathering, and the president and his party were there. But I had to leave early because of the physical and medical situation I had. So I left, but I know that's a gaffe, that no one leaves a building before the president and his party. So I wrote to her and I apologized for that. I got a letter from her in her own handwriting in which she said, thank you for the letter, but it was unnecessary. She said, I have only one regret, that I didn't come over and hug your neck. Well, that was wonderful. But the other night, when I received the award, she talked for about 10 minutes about my work and its impact on her and her husband for the last 20 years.
So what did you make of that book that was out recently then? Because it portrayed her as, I think the phrase that we picked up over here, I think she had to say that she wasn't this angry black woman as she was being portrayed. The Obamas by Jodi Kantor, who's a reporter on the New York Times.
I didn't even know the book.
And I think Michelle was quite hurt by it and did an interview saying, you know, I am not this sort of angry black woman as I'm being portrayed.
You can see what she does with the children and what she does with gardening and her serious mission to rid the country and especially the children of obesity.
The First Lady job is a very difficult one. She's the first black First Lady. Do you think she's done it well?
Everybody admires her. I mean, white and black. Women just think she's the bee's knees.
And what of him? I think I saw an interview with you saying that you never really thought that you would see a black president in your lifetime. We're looking now towards him trying to gain a second term. Yes. What do you make of the first term?
I think he's done a remarkable job, knowing how much he has been opposed. Every suggestion he makes, the Republicans en masse vote against him, or do not vote at all. It's such a telling action that's going on. It's a drama that you can see going on in your television or in your newspapers.
And how much of that is because he's a Democrat, and how much of that is because he's a black president?
Well, I think both. But being black does this exacerbates it. But the Republicans won't back in. And you see, Mr. Obama, President Obama, came into a situation that had been brought about by the Republicans. All that money, the the debt owed and the condition of the economy, all of that was there when Mr. Obama came in. And he's seriously about the business of taxing the very wealthy who are all Republicans. And they are fighting against that. They are telling the poor people, if you tax us, we will not be able to provide jobs for you. This is so classic.
Has he been all that you expected or that you would have hoped for?
I didn't know what to expect, really. I was hoping for the best. And I think I've gotten the best from him. I don't know what else he can do.
That's interesting, because there are a lot of people saying that they're quite disappointed and they were hoping for more.
I know that, but then those are people who didn't see the morass in which he stepped when he came in. They expected, okay, here's the president, he's going to make it all right. Well, alas, he can't do it alone. And he can't do it with half of, or even all of the Democrats being for him, and all of the Republicans being against him. We have one country, and we're supposed to have one leader. And when he leads, then we either go with him, or we admit, and then the Democrats and the Republicans can admit, no, he's not good value.
He's faced some pretty nasty stuff from the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. Has that been a surprise to you, and do you think that's had an impact?
In fact, not a surprise at all, I'm sorry to say. What I wish is that we would have a different drama played out in the next few months. But alas, I think we're going to see a number of people who say, I have no racial prejudice. Oh, no, I have nothing like that. Not in my heart, not in my conversation. But in the next few months, as we wind up to the campaign, the double campaign, I tell you, we're going to see some nastiness, some vulgarity, I think.
Do you think he'll come through that?
Oh, yes, I think so.
What impact has his presidency had in terms of Black America and in terms of the America's understanding of race?
Just being there, his photograph in the newspapers, the legend, the president of the United States, that has done so much good for the spirit of the African American. And we see more and more children wanting to be like President Obama, wanting to go to school. And if that can sink down to the lowest rung on this ladder, he will have lived upon the earth in known glory.
Let's just quickly move on, because we haven't got much time, to Black History Month, because I think you've been fully involved in that again. You've been saying, I think, that you were looking forward to a time when we don't need to have a Black History Month, but that this isn't that time.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? When Black American history and Indian Native American history and Latin and Latinos and Jewish, and when all the American history would be taught from one book, and it would simply be called the American History. That's what one wishes for.
A lot of people.
And I tell you the truth, I'm trying to work myself out of a job by being so active in extolling the contributions of the African Americans.
But when he was elected, a lot of people talked about us being post-racial. Already.
Silly. That was the same thing that happened in the 1960s. And alas, it set us up for some very terrible years. 50s and 60s, when integration was legally voted in. And then a number of Black people said, okay, great, it's all over now, but the shouting. And they clapped their hands and stop telling the children what they had been told, and all Black children were told in the United States. It all depends on you. The race depends on you. You must get to school. You must get this. You must go for A's. You must. That's what I was told and everybody else. But after 1960, for about over 10 years, maybe 20 years, the young people were let go. Be eccentric, if you like. You don't have to go to school. Learn to dribble a ball. I tell you, it was so pitiful, so that the grades which had been very fine in black schools, sunk to an embarrassing level.
And I think you've been saying that the knowledge of black history's sunk pretty badly, too.
It did.
How to pull back from that now?
15 years ago, if you had Black History Month and the speaker came to school, the black kids stayed away just like the white kids. But nowadays, in the last 10 years, I'd say, the people have awakened to the mistakes they made. That is, the parents and grandparents. And the children are now back in the schools. And every school I go to, there hundreds of thousands of letters I receive. See, I got D's and I got F's, but I'm now on the dean's list. And I'm going to go to college.
So it's coming back.
That's fabulous.
Because it's a debate that we've been having here, the issue that was raised about the use of the N-word, a lot of people respect you. Can you just give me your sense of as to why that's an undesirable thing? I know there was a debate there following the work that was done between yourself and Common.
It's terrible that young men and some women have realized that Europeans or whites will use the N-word. And it's as if the black people say, you hate me, and you show you hate me by using that word. But let me show you how to hate me. I can use the word to show you. I can hate myself more than you can hate me. It's the most vulgar and it's the most senseless attitude. The word was created to dehumanize people. If you bought poison from a pharmacy and on the vial there was a skull and bones and the letters P-O-I-S-O-N, you would know it's poison. Well, you can take that vial and pour the contents into Bavarian crystal. It's still poison. It doesn't matter where it comes out of. So my prayer is that the young men and women who use the word will rethink.
Are you optimistic
I am very optimistic about everything. I know it's going to be better. I see how far we've come. The fact is, we live such short lives. Even at 100, we live such short lives. We hardly see the magnanimity of our progress. We are a carnivorous group who probably decided not to eat our brothers and sisters, who may be delicious, but to accord them some rights and to go further than that, to try to love them, whatever that mystery is. We have come a long way. Just imagine, a little over 100 years ago, 150 years ago, all blacks in the United States were either slaves or escapees. I mean, and people were legally lynched. The very idea that galls even the racists today. And I have hope. I don't expect to live forever. I have hope that I'll do my best and leave the rest for the young people to take over.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.